The Potting Shed by Graham Greene, adapted for radio by Peggy Wells, with Sybil Thorndike as Mrs. Mary Califer and Robert Harris as James Califer. The Potting Shed.
It needed courage in those days to meet the opposition of the churches, the vested interests of superstition. Oh, it needed courage in those days to meet the challenge of the churches, the vested interests of superstition. Califer's greatest book was, of course, The Cosmic Fallacy. But those who were closest to him knew what store he set by that charming, pathetic, and charitable study of Jesus Christ, the first century religious leader. He was a man. He was a man. We can say that, too, in a different sense of Califer. Those of us who loved Califer most, his wife, his sons, his oldest friend and disciple, repeat with sorrow, he was a man. We would be unworthy of him if we did not recognize that these ashes that at his request I now resign to the river and the fields and the earth he loved are all that remains, remains...
Has Grandfather died, Dr. Baston?
I didn't hear you come in, Anne. Where did you come from?
The garden. I came through the French window. I thought you were talking to Granny, but then I saw you were by yourself.
Yes, I'm learning by heart a speech I have written.
Is Grandfather dead yet?
No. He's making a wonderful fight.
Well, so would you, wouldn't you? It can't be very nice being dead. Is Granny with him?
Yes, and your father, and the doctor, of course.
Aunt Sarah's snivelling in the garden.
Oh, what a hard child you are.
Well, it's no good being mushy, is it? She is snivelling.
You could have said crying.
Oh, crying's quite a different thing.
I expect she's very fond of your grandfather.
Perhaps. Or she may be snivelling for lost love, though it's not very likely after all these years. I called her Aunt Sarah, but strictly speaking, I shouldn't, should I? Not after she divorced Uncle James.
A courtesy title.
I don't understand why she comes here and not Uncle James.
Well, I suppose he was too busy to come, or perhaps his newspaper couldn't spare him. And it's a long way from Nottingham.
My school's further than Nottingham. They fetched me.
I expect there was some reason.
They never told Uncle James that Grandfather was dying.
Oh, nonsense.
Oh, but I know. They gave me the telegrams to take to the post office. There was one to you and one to Father, even one to Aunt Sarah. But not to Uncle James. Is he a criminal?
Of course he isn't.
Or wicked?
No, no.
Or mad?
Of course not.
Then I was quite right to do what I did.
What? What did you do?
I sent him a telegram myself.
That was very, very wrong of you, Anne.
Why?
To upset everybody at a time like this, with your grandfather dying upstairs.
Is Uncle James a hunchback? Has he got a face of horror?
You're a silly, interfering little girl. I only hope he has the sense not to come. I shall have to warn your grandmother.
Warn?
He's not wanted here. Nobody wants him here.
I see. I'm sorry.
I should think you are sorry.
Is he dead?
No. They'll call us at the end.
Where are you off to, Aunt?
The garden, Aunt Sarah. Oh,
do you know what that child has done?
No.
She sent for James.
Poor James. Well, is that so awful? He's got the right, hasn't he, as a son?
And his father has the right to die in peace.
Sometimes the dying want to forgive.
Oh, I don't think there's anything to forgive.
It will be strange seeing James after all these years. What does a man become when a wife leaves him on his own? He ate salt on his bread, and he used to take tea, not coffee, for breakfast. Those are the things that one remembers. Why did his family always hate him so? I don't.
It's not hate. They never got along, that's all. Even when he was a boy.
I would have loved a child of mine, whatever he did. Do you know, they only got fond of me after the divorce. They wrote to me so kindly then, but as long as James and I were together, I was infectious. A mother generally defends her son, doesn't she? But when I left James, I won his mother's approval.
I shan't tell Mrs. Califer yet. Perhaps James will have the sense to keep away. For your sake, too, it would be painful.
Would it? I suppose so. It's very bitter when a man leaves you for nothing. I wouldn't have minded so much if James had been in love with another woman. I could bear being beaten by someone younger, someone lovely. But I was beaten by a bed-sitting room in Nottingham. That's all he left me for.
I remember your house at Richmond. It was very beautiful.
But he wouldn't live in it. It contained me.
I never understood it. James always seemed so fond of you.
Do you know what it's like being married to a sleepwalker?
No, I don't know anything about marriage. I never had the nerve to commit it.
Oh, there you both are.
Oh, how is Henry, Mary?
He's sleeping again. He was conscious for nearly 5 minutes. I almost hope...
You ought to rest.
I'll rest when it's over, Sarah.
Oh, you're killing yourself,
no,
Mary.
No, Fred, don't worry. That would be too good. Next week we would have had our golden wedding. Is this your funeral oration?
Yes, I've been memorizing my notes.
Yes, it reads very well. We had a royalty statement last week. They only send them once a year now. They sold 3 copies of The Cosmic Fallacy for export. His greatest book.
Oh, anyway, it's in print still.
Oh, yes. At that rate, it'll be in print longer than we shall be. Christianity is the fashion now.
A passing fashion.
Of course. But how he hated those sentimental myths. Virgin births, crucified gods. Just now from Henry's room... I thought I heard a dog barking. Did you?
No. Perhaps a stray.
Oh, well, I must remember to look at that wire netting on the gate. We had a lot of trouble there once, Sarah, with dogs messing up the flower beds.
I have one now, but I never bring it.
I know you think I'm very funny, but, you know, it's not old age. I've always detested dogs, haven't I, Fred?
Always.
Parodies of men and women. I hate parodies. We both always hated parodies. Where is John?
I thought he was with you.
He went to the post office.
Oh, dear, I hope he won't be long. Where is Anne?
In the garden.
If Henry becomes conscious, it'll be the last time. I do want him to see all the faces he loved, you, Fred, especially. So good of you to come at once and take all this trouble. You know, I tried to persuade him to alter his will. Well, about the ceremony... The River Wandle is not how he remembers it. Too much pollution from the dye factory and the housing development has ruined the field.
Oh, John and I found a spot where you can only just see the chimneys.
Oh, well, of course, it doesn't matter, does it? Just a gesture, scattering ashes. People are so sentimental sometimes about death, wearing black, wishing to be buried together.
I really believe I did hear a dog.
Do you really have to go next week, Sarah?
Oh, I could always make an excuse.
Well, I thought if you could stay a few more days, we might hire a car and go to the spring flower show at Weston. I missed it last year when Henry was ill.
Of course I'll stay.
Yeah, I do wish John had come back. Anne, I didn't see you come in. Where have you been?
In the garden, Granny.
You haven't been picking the daffodils, dear, have you?
No, Granny.
Well, where have you been, dear?
I've been to the potting shed.
Oh, oh, why the potting shed? You know I don't like you going there. The gardeners complained of you knocking over the seedlings.
I didn't touch them.
What were you doing?
No, if you've got to know, I was shutting up a secret dog.
A secret dog?
Then we did hear a bark.
What, do you mean a stray dog?
No, a secret dog.
But you know I won't have dogs here. Who does it belong to?
A man.
What man?
He's come to see Grandpa.
I said what man?
Oh, if you must know, Aunt Sarah, your ex-husband.
What, James?
Yes.
Did you know about this, Sarah?
Anne sent him a telegram.
Where is he?
I don't know. I told him he didn't like dogs. He'd forgotten. So he asked me where I could put it, and I told him the potting shed. I said I'd show him the way, but he said I could do it for him. When I looked back, he'd gone. We'd meant to keep it a dark secret, but you would ask questions. Oh, I think he's coming through the garden now. He must have run into Daddy.
Mother?
How are you, James? I'm glad you could come.
Sarah? I didn't mean to be a nuisance. I just thought if Father...
Oh, but of course you're not a nuisance. We telegraphed for you.
Anne telegraphed for me.
I told her to, James.
Granny, how could you?
I see.
And this is Frederick Bastian. You remember Dr. Bastian.
Well, it's so many years.
How'd you do?
How's my father?
It will be any moment now.
Can I see him?
Better not, at present. He's unconscious.
How are you, James?
Oh, well. Very well, Sarah. And you?
Oh, I'm well, too.
How's the weather up north?
It was raining when I left.
Well, I must go to Henry.
Well, let's sit down.
If you don't mind, I want to have a word with John about the ceremony.
The ceremony? What a cold word.
Dr. Baston's reading an oration at the funeral.
My mother didn't even let me know, Sarah.
You heard what she said, James.
Well, it wasn't true. I had the true story from Anne. I was to be left out. Why? One's father's death is usually supposed to be important.
Perhaps it's not very important if you believe in nothing afterwards. Or do you? I ought to know. We were married for 5 years, but it's the tea you had for breakfast, I remember. You liked it strong. Otherwise, you said you couldn't taste it. Does your landlady make good tea?
I suppose so. Sarah, what's wrong with me? Why do they keep me away? I wasn't much of a husband to you, I know. But I wasn't bad, was I?
No, you weren't bad, James. It was just you weren't interested. You pretended very well and very kindly. Even in bed, you pretended. I used to think there was another woman somewhere. Someone like the tea, strong enough for you to taste. You couldn't taste me. What do you think about when you're alone?
Think about?
I used to imagine you were thinking of someone else, but when you went away, there was nobody. How bored you must have been with me.
No, I wasn't bored. I knew I made you unhappy. There seemed no point in going on. I wish you'd married again, Sarah. John's a born widower.
I had a lover after you went. He didn't pretend. And then one night I woke and saw him sleeping beside me, content. And I remembered you with your eyes open, thinking of something else, and I didn't want him anymore. I didn't love him anymore.
What's the good of talking importantly about love? It doesn't last like a book or a tune. It goes out with the breath. And we can always snuff that out, can't we? We're not worth loving.
Then nothing is.
And I love nothing.
You do, indeed. In the night, you'd wake, loving nothing. You went looking for nothing everywhere. When you came in at night, I could see you'd been with nothing all day. I was jealous of nothing, as though it was a woman, and now you sleep with nothing every night. Oh, hell, give me a cigarette.
Well, I don't smoke. Sarah, what's wrong with me?
You're not alive. Sometimes I wanted to make you angry or sorry, to hurt you, but you never felt pain. I believe you married me out of curiosity to see if you could feel. You didn't feel.
I thought if I saw my father now, at the end, he'd tell me. Tell me what's wrong.
I thought I knew what it was.
Yes?
When your mother heard about the telegram, she was afraid.
Afraid of what I do?
Afraid of what you are.
A middle-aged newspaper man. I go to the office at 4 and usually get away by 1 in the morning. I sleep till 9. Well, I mean, I stay in bed. I take the dog for a walk in the park and have a meal with Corner.
Corner?
He shares my lodgings, a reporter on the Nottingham Journal.
Oh.
My landlady has a penchant for tinned salmon. My dog likes it, but it often makes him sick. He's not a very good dog. Parents unknown.
You shouldn't have brought him here. Your mother hates dogs.
Yes, I know. I forgot. You see, our acquaintance has not been very continuous.
Don't be bitter. She's very unhappy now.
I'm not bitter. I want to know, that's all. What's your earliest memory, Sarah?
Driving a go-kart.
I can remember nothing. Absolutely nothing. Until I was ill, just before they sent me away to school at 14, lying in bed with a sore throat. A dim light was burning, and a nurse, a very kind nurse, bringing me soup. I thought she was an angel. I'd seen a picture of one once. I suppose in a shop.
I'd come and live with you at Nottingham if you wanted me.
And what about the house in Richmond?
I'd sell it. I only came here because I thought I'd see you. But I didn't dare to ask why you weren't here. You know I love you, James.
Now, Sarah, I simply don't know what love is. What is it?
It's what I feel now. I want to be with you, James.
Isn't there a love that exists and doesn't want? My father's dying. He has nothing to hope for anymore forever. When he looks at me, don't you think I might see just love? No claim, no hope, no want. Whiskey taken neat.
The strong taste.
Yes.
John, here.
Oh, listen. Perhaps he's woken up. I haven't seen him for 15 years, Sarah. Perhaps he'll speak.
Where is Anne?
In the garden.
Please fetch her quickly, Sarah. Find her and take her straight upstairs.
Of course.
Father?
Anne?
Yes.
Can I go up?
Anne?
James, I don't want you to see him.
But why? I've come for that.
I didn't send the telegram.
I know. I'm going to see him, though.
Oh, no.
No, no. Mother, please stand away from that door.
I don't want to be harsh. That's why I wanted to let you know afterwards. But he's got to die in peace.
Why? Why should I destroy his peace?
I love him, James. I want so much to see the last of him. Promise you won't move from this room.
No.
Then I stay.
Oh, Mother, if you love me.
I love him more.
Give me one reason. All right, all right. You've won, Mother. I promise not to come. I'll stay here.
Lot there is to tidy up. I shouldn't think Father ever threw a letter away.
What about this pile of books, John?
Do you know what they are? Old visitors' books.
Perhaps he thought the signatures might become valuable.
Yes, I hadn't thought of that. Wells came several times, I see. Yeah, look, James, here's Bertrand Russell for lunch. Mm.
And Dr. Baston, too.
Well, you'll find me on a lot of pages, I'm afraid, James.
August the 3rd to the 8th, 1919. Do you remember that visit, Dr. Baston?
As a matter of fact, I do. The first summer after the war. It was beautiful weather. We played cricket in the Long Meadow. You children, too.
I don't remember.
It was before they built the dye factory. You could understand then why this house was called Wild Grove. There was a wood of beech and wild nut trees where the housing development is. I remember I hit a 6 into the River Wandle.
I must have been nearly 8 that summer.
Anne, isn't it time you went to bed?
Oh, I want to finish this chapter, Daddy.
It's long past your bedtime. It's been a tiring day.
Oh. I thought of that game of cricket this afternoon during the ceremony. We were in the same field. You children called your father the demon bowler. He bowled underarm, but very fast.
Yes, I remember. With a tennis ball.
I don't remember.
Ah, poor father.
There's an entry in 1925. That was the year I was ill. The year I went away to school. Who's William Califer?
Don't you even remember your own uncle?
No. Didn't he get a telegram either? Or is he dead?
Father never had much to do with William Califer.
Well, I see he was here for 3 days that autumn.
It was the last time. He behaved rather badly.
It was bad enough to have a convert in the family. But when he became a priest...
Well, I'm glad I'm not the only pariah among the Califers.
Uncle James, if I put some water in the hall, will you take it to the potting shed?
The potting shed?
To your dog, stupid.
Oh, couldn't you do it for me? You've been looking after him.
Well, I think Spot would prefer you after what happened this afternoon.
Why?
If I go now, he'll think he's still in disgrace. Granny was so angry.
But I don't know where it is, Anne.
Oh, you've seen me going there often enough. Down the path by the laurels. You can't miss it. Good night, Daddy.
And good night, darling.
Good night, Dr. Baston.
Good night, Anne. It's a good thing when a sad day ends.
Oh, it wasn't all sad, was it? Hmm? I thought it was awfully funny when Spot came bounding along looking for Uncle James and you dropped the ashes.
Oh, it wasn't very nice for your grandmother. It spoiled the ceremony.
You were just saying, I now consign to the river. You could have altered it quickly and said, I now consign to Long Meadow.
You go to bed, Anne.
All right. You won't forget the water, Uncle James?
No.
Good night.
Oh, how heartless children are.
Oh, I don't think she meant it that way. She was just being practical, that's all. Her mother was the same.
It's unfortunate you brought that dog, James.
Well, I know, I forgot. I'll be leaving very early tomorrow morning. You'll say goodbye to Mother for me, won't you? Say I'm sorry I butted in.
You exaggerate.
Do I? This entry in the visitor's book. Fancy a Califer being a priest.
As a priest, your uncle isn't exactly a success.
Why? Does he drink or something?
Inordinately.
How unlike a Califer. Well, I'm going to bed.
Don't forget the dog.
The dog? Well, surely he can do without water just at night. He's asleep and is late. It'll do in the morning.
So long as he doesn't wake Mother with his howling.
Couldn't you do it for me, John? It's very dark outside.
And be bitten at the end of it. Hey, look after your own dog, James.
But I've even forgotten where the shed is.
And told you, down the Laurel Walk. You can't miss it. Oh, and then there's a flashlight on the hall table.
Listen, he is howling.
You'd better let him out and keep him in your bedroom. Oh, for goodness sake, James, do something. He'll keep everybody awake.
Oh, very well.
Oh, he hasn't changed. Always difficult.
Do you think I ought to look through all these books, Fred?
Oh, I wouldn't bother. They wouldn't fetch much.
Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Can't you sleep, Mother?
Well, I did for a little. Has James gone to bed?
Yes, and we're just going. Try to sleep.
A book will help. Oh, you've done a lot of tidying already, John. You and Fred have been very helpful. Well, do you think this will send me to sleep? Oh, I'm sorry, it's one of yours, Fred. To Henry Califer, a great leader and a great friend. Strange, that doesn't seem to be true any longer.
I don't follow you.
Well, how could you, Fred? But for nearly 50 years, I've looked after his laundry, I've seen to his household, I've paid attention to his allergies. He wasn't a leader, I can see that now. He was someone I protected, and now I'm unemployed. Please go to bed, both of you, and leave me alone.
You have your family, Mother.
Well, you don't need protection, John. You're like me, a professional protector. It wasn't what I intended to be. But men either form us with their strength or they form us with their weakness. They never let us be.
Mary, you must.
Poor James had to suffer. Oh. We did him a great wrong, Henry and I. Why shouldn't he know? As much as we know.
It would be a mistake after all these years. And what do we know?
You never told me anything.
I don't want your empty spaces, Fred. I don't want anything except Henry. Henry alive somehow, somewhere.
Mary.
Oh, I've often talked so harshly of him to you. And yet I loved him.
So did I.
Please, John, both of you, go away. I'll be all right when I'm alone. But I'm not strong enough yet for sympathy.
Come up soon, Mother.
In a little while. But it's such a large room. I'll move into Sarah's when she goes. Good night, my dear.
Good night, Mother.
Good night, Mary. You'll call me if there's anything.
Yes, of course.
I'll look in at Hen. Oh.
Don't worry, Fred. We all make that mistake for a while. Today, when I was ordering lunch, I said, not French beans. He always hated them. Now we can have them every day.
Mistakes like that are a kind of immortality. You remember Samuel Butler's sonnet? Yet meet we shall, and part, and meet again, where dead men meet on lips of living men. As long as there are you and I, and his books.
Yes, 3 copies for export. There was once a Califer Club. Do you remember?
Yes, Mary. I was going to write and suggest a biography, an intimate biography with letters.
Don't, Fred. Wait until a publisher writes to you. I'd rather hope than collect polite refusals.
As you wish. But when he had his first bad illness, they did suggest
that... That was 30 years ago. Your oration will do just as well, Fred, for those who are interested. I'll have it printed for private distribution. Do you think 200 copies? There may still be some members of the club. It was very dear and generous of you. Oh, if only that wretched dog. Oh, well. I'll read myself to sleep with your book, Fred. Good night.
Good night, Mary.
Dedicated to Henry Califer, a great leader and a great friend. Who's that?
Mother.
Oh, is that you, James?
Yes, Mother.
I thought you were in bed. What's that you've got in your hand, dear?
A bowl of water for the dog.
Oh.
I started to take it to him, but, Mother...
Yes, dear?
Well, I was too frightened. But
why frightened? Was it the darkness here?
Oh, no, I don't mind the dark.
Oh, and what was it? Tell me what happened, dear.
I was frightened before I left the house. Just as though I knew someone was waiting for me among the laurels on the path to the potting shed.
My poor James. Come here. Sit at my feet as you used to when you were a little boy.
Mother, I'm sorry about the dog and coming here, disturbing you.
Oh, my dear, don't worry. You're my son, James.
Yes, I'm your son, Mother. Will you tell me, please, now my father's not here, what's wrong?
Wrong?
Wrong with me. So that you were afraid to see me? Oh, except between trains at Nottingham when you were taking Anne to school. Do you remember when we met that time at a tea shop? I made you meet me, but I still hoped that in a way you'd be glad to see me. And then I walked in from the street and you sat there waiting, hard and afraid. Afraid of me. We talked about what the weather had been like here, and then you said you had to catch your train. What did I do, Mother? All those years ago that was so horrible.
You're imagining things, James.
No, Mother. There's usually a moment when parents begin to speak the truth to their children. It's been a long time delayed in our case.
Well, there never is such a moment. First, the children are too young, and then the parents are too old for truth.
Then...
I'm too old, James. Please.
Then there is a truth.
You'll have to go somewhere else to find it.
I've looked for it already in some strange places.
Yeah?
Once a week I go to a doctor and he gives me an injection. And I talk and talk.
Oh, and what good does that do?
Well, none yet. I tell him how my marriage broke and about my childhood. All I can remember. How my parents avoided me. Don't we have to learn love from our parents like we learn to walk? You taught me to walk. But I've no idea what love is.
Oh, you're wrong, James. You had love, my dear. Until...
Until what?
I'm very tired, James. Please don't ask me tonight.
But I'll be gone tomorrow.
Oh, we shouldn't have buried it. But now it's been buried such a long time, I don't know what it would look like.
Mother, please. Shut your eyes and think I'm your child. There's something I don't understand, and I fear it. And I've come running.
I've got to protect Henry.
He's dead.
Oh, can't I be loyal to him for a few hours?
It won't affect him.
How do we know? How do we know?
I don't. I thought you did. Don't worry. I won't ask you again. I dreamed for a moment you were my mother, and I was a child, and I went to my mother with my fear. For now I thought my father isn't here to be protected. Doesn't a child deserve protection too? I pretended to myself you were a mother like other mothers and I was a child like any other child. Somebody you can comfort so easily, saying they're only shadows and lighting a lamp or giving him a toy spade to dig with.
Oh, do you remember that toy spade? Well, you were only six.
What do you mean?
We can be hurt by such silly things. You spoke as though you never liked that spade, but you were so happy with it.
I've never remembered anything as far back as that before.
Well, I must go now. We can talk again one day. Goodbye. I don't suppose I could be up when you go.
Goodbye.
Hello.
What do you want?
That's an awfully difficult question to answer.
Well, where have you been? What have you been doing?
I was listening behind the curtain.
That's very wrong.
Don't you ever do anything that's wrong?
Yes, And sometimes I can't even remember what.
Are uncles prohibited?
Hmm?
As husbands?
Yes.
That's a pity. We get on very well together. You see, I don't know what love is either.
You certainly have been listening.
I'm curious by nature. I'd make a good detective.
Why were you listening?
Well, I was on the prowl outside and I heard voices. There's an awful lot to be found out everywhere.
Everywhere?
I'm frightened of the Laurel Walk, too, after dark. That's why I wouldn't take the water to Spot. I kept on thinking, out, out, damned Spot. Because if there were ghosts, the potting shed might be haunted. And you can't be quite sure of anything, can you?
Why, the potting shed?
Something awful happened there once.
How do you know?
Well, I heard the gardener talking one day to a man who came for the seedlings. He was talking about Potter, the gardener they used to have here years ago. And he said, I always thought Mr. Caliber was pleased when old Potter passed on. He meant died, you know. Hmm. And the other man said, why? And Willis, he's the gardener now, said, I reckon it was because he was here when that thing happened. He saw it all, right here. Something shocking it was. I don't like the smell of mould, do you, Uncle James?
Something shocking.
Expect they hushed it up. That's why I thought, out, out, damned Spot.
I don't believe you.
It's the truth.
But it needn't have anything to do with me. I couldn't have done anything very terrible. Not at that age.
He said, poor Master James.
I remember nothing. Nothing. I don't look like someone who'd do anything shocking, do I?
No. You don't look like that. But I don't suppose people do. Everything's possible, isn't it?
Come in, Dr. Kreutzer. Caliper's spoken of you many times.
Oh, you're Mr. Corner, aren't you? You share the same lodging.
That's right.
Well, he's spoken of you, too. The only real reporter the Nottingham Journal has, he says.
He doesn't say it to me. Sit down and wait, Dr. Kreutzer. He must be back soon.
Haven't you seen him this morning?
Not since breakfast. He said he had an appointment with you.
Well, Caliper left me 2 hours ago. I must get hold of him.
What's happened?
Well, he took something from my desk, which I need back.
Stole it?
Oh, no. It was my fault. A patient never steals.
What's wrong with him, Doctor?
Oh, I don't know.
We all have moods.
Well, some moods are blacker than others, eh?
But he's good at his job, or he wouldn't have stayed 5 years on the Journal.
When Caliper takes a walk in Nottingham, where does he go?
He used to go along the Trent when he had the dog, or down to the goose market.
Well, hasn't he got the dog still?
No, it ran away.
Oh, sorry.
He didn't seem to mind.
I wonder why he didn't tell me about it.
Perhaps it wasn't important enough.
You live with him, Mr. Corner. What is important to him?
I wouldn't know.
Oh, perhaps that's Caliper now.
Well, well. So you've hunted me down to my digs, Dr. Kreutzer. Digs. The word sounds like an animal hole, doesn't it?
I wanted to see the kind of place you live in. It's a bit anonymous.
Mm, furnished by the landlady. A lodging for the night. The slow, dark hours. For me and my colleague, Corner. I'm glad you've met, Corner.
There's a telegram for you on the mantelpiece.
Huh? It's from my mother. I suppose she's fetching Anne from school. It's just as I told you, this is the way she always visits me between trains. Lucky Nottingham is a junction. In the summer term, I never see her. I suppose there's a better connection.
You're still excited, Caliper.
Well, I've remembered something, haven't I? Did you ever have a toy spade, Corner?
Toy spade?
Mm. Doctor, are all your patients as anxious as I am to be cured?
No, they don't come until they want it enough.
You should try him, Corner. A jab in the arms, a little nausea for a few seconds, and then a desire to talk till the cows come home. What time do cows come home, Corner?
It depends what you mean by cows. Calliffe, if your mum's coming, I'm going to my room. She always makes me feel like an office boy. Goodbye, Dr. Kreutzer.
Goodbye, Mr. Corner.
I'll come for a shot in the arm myself one day.
It's not only the drug which is exciting you.
Why are you really here, Doctor?
I have a sense that I failed you today.
You? Why?
You came to me with a kind of hope.
I went away with a kind of hope, too.
No, we're not in my consulting room now. Perhaps you can talk to me more easily here.
I've talked myself dry. 6 months of talking. It hasn't got as far. Perhaps what I really need is action.
What action? What's that you've got in your hand?
Oh, a toy, something I picked up. We've been talking about childhood so long, you mustn't mind if I start playing with toys again. Not a spade this time. We've exhausted the spade.
No, we haven't. You brought it up, and there we stopped. You had an important engagement, don't you remember?
There's no point in the spade. Every child has one, or so I've read. I've read a lot about childhood. It helped to fill the gap.
How?
I built up an imaginary childhood. That plot of garden. Seed envelopes with colored pictures that one bought in shops. But there were more important seeds, Doctor, not in packets. Seeds in old cardboard boxes. One stole them from the gardener and planted them in the ground, and one never knew which flower or vegetable would grow. The boxes lay on the earth in the potting shed.
Go on.
I can't.
Where did you read about this?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Well, perhaps it was a real potting shed.
Yes, a real potting shed. And a month ago, I began to walk down the laurel path towards it. It was dark. I was carrying water for my dog, and I didn't have the courage even to come within sight of the door. Father, can't you tell me...
You called me father.
So I did. But he died a month ago, and he'll never tell me now.
Try not to worry. Talk about something else. Forget the potting shed.
I had. All those years. But you can't forget forever what exists. Sooner or later, a smell, a touch. Our footsteps make such a pattern over the world. In 40 years, they'd have to tread the same path again sooner or later. Wouldn't they, Doctor?
I believe there's nothing human which can't somehow with patience be recalled.
And do you believe in anything that isn't human?
No, I don't believe. Sometimes I doubt my disbelief.
What could have happened that was so terrible it wiped out all memory? I was a boy, Doctor. What a boy can do is very limited.
Perhaps it was something done to you.
Oh, then why the disgrace? Oh, I know some parents make a fuss about the little sexual games children play. Not my parents, though. It can't have been anything like that. They never worried by anything human.
Ah, that word human again.
Well, God was taboo. My father had killed that superstition for his generation. Poor father. I'm glad he didn't realize how it was beginning to return. Like memory. We were not allowed ghost stories either. Do you believe in ghosts, Doctor?
No.
Or the soul?
I've never understood what people mean by that word.
If I had a child, I wouldn't forbid it fairy stories. It might develop the sense of hope. If a pumpkin could turn into a coach, even this dreary room, that tablecloth, those awful ornaments, could be a palace with limitless corridors.
Did you ever want a child?
No. I didn't want to create new convicts for a prison. To have a child, you need hope.
Well, there seems to be plenty of hope then around us, judging by the birth rate.
There should be another word for that simple sort of hope.
It's enough for most of us.
Oh, no, Doctor. I'm not sneering. I want it to be enough for me, too. Why isn't it? What happened to me in that shed?
For 6 months now, I've been trying to find out, and you haven't given me a clue.
I was beginning to remember.
Yes, outside the door. But what happened when the door shut behind you? Was there a lock, a bolt, a catch? Answer me quickly.
No, I can't remember.
Were you alone?
I don't know.
Think aloud, invent. Tell a story, any story, a fairy story. Whatever comes into your head. You've seen many other sheds like that, haven't you, besides the one you fear so? Describe them to me. Anything. The spades leaning against the wall, the smell of mold.
It's as if there were only one place like that in the world. The walk was called the Dark Walk. The door was never painted.
Are you inventing?
I think so. I don't know. I kept my spade in there, with the real spades. In that way, it seemed to be no longer a toy. That was years before. Something made a pattern on the path as I walked. Like a Like a snake crawling beside me.
A snake?
No, not a snake. I don't know. When I came inside of the door, my heart was beating. I stopped to get my breath. My head was aching too, but I wasn't unhappy anymore. Just frightened.
You'd been unhappy. Was somebody waiting for you?
Yes, or something. I don't know. I can't remember. That damn door shuts it all out. But Doctor, we can go on like this for a lifetime. I'll never get through that door.
And when you came out again?
I don't believe I ever came out. Sometimes I think I'm still lying there.
Lying?
Oh, well, it was only the first word that came. I'm tired, Doctor. And my mother will be here any moment now.
You are frightened of making any effort to remember. I can't cure you. Well, perhaps there's nothing to cure.
What do you mean?
I can only cure the irrational, the exaggerated, the abnormal. If a man is melancholy because he's lost his leg, I'm not called in. He has good reason.
You think I may have reason?
Yes, but what happened inside the door to give you the reason? The mind boggles at that.
So we give up. Right. It was my last fling, too.
Don't be a bigger coward than you need be.
You're trying to make me angry, Doctor. You can't. My plan needs courage.
I was just talking, Caliper, to make you talk. I never give a patient up.
Has no one given you up?
Yes, one.
He got tired of it?
Yes.
Did he find another cure?
Not what I can admit as a cure. Perhaps this may interest you. He killed himself.
Oh?
He was my son.
I'm sorry.
He wouldn't be treated by anyone else. I tried to make him, but he was afraid. He was never afraid of me. I had to go and tell his mother. We hadn't met for years. She took it badly.
How long ago?
10 years. I swore then I'd never leave a case unfinished, even if a patient tried to give me up. They often do.
It's my mother, Dr. Kreutzer.
Oh, before I go, may I have them, please?
I don't understand.
Now, you acted very quickly. I suppose it was when I turned to the telephone. I forgot to examine my desk before you left. My tablets, please.
Well, suppose I won't give them to you.
Well, it's not very important. I'm trying to save you from a stomachache, that's all. They're not poisonous.
Then why did you follow me here?
I couldn't allow a patient to leave me ever again in that state of mind. All right, tablets, please.
Oh. Very well.
Thank you.
James?
Hmm?
Is Anne here?
No, Mother.
I lost her at the station barrier. Oh, I'm so sorry, James, interrupting you.
No, we finished. Quite finished. This is Dr. Kreutzer, Mother.
He's not ill, is he, Doctor?
He's not that kind of doctor. He makes me talk, that's all.
Oh, is that supposed to be a good thing nowadays?
Now, your generation believed in letting sleeping dogs lie, Mrs. Caliper.
Was that so wrong?
You were clever at keeping them asleep. But sometimes they wake up your children.
Oh. Do you think I ought to go back to the station, James?
Anne's old enough. She'll find her way.
But I can't think how I lost her. She went ahead while I collected the luggage. She said she'd wait at the barrier.
Goodbye, Caliper. Same time next week.
It's no use, Doctor. We've failed.
I told you, I never give up.
I'm sorry, but I can't afford to play at this any longer.
There'll be no charge.
But if it's a question of money...
No, it isn't. It's a question of courage.
No. Only a question of hope.
Caliper, I've had this conversation once before with someone else. I beg you, please...
I shall do nothing foolishly. I'm quite calm. You can feel my pulse.
It would be useless... I should feel only the drug. Mrs. Caliper, if only you would help him.
Look, I don't want my mother troubled.
I thought you didn't know what love was. Very well, then. But I'll phone you in the morning. Goodbye, Mrs. Caliper.
Goodbye.
He's a good man.
What were you talking about before I came?
A potting shed where something happened. Mother, why did you leave my Uncle William out as well as me when my father was dying?
There had been a quarrel years ago.
I can't remember his face.
Oh, don't try to, James. William Caliper belongs to the past, like your father and me. Old years are like old people. You should let them get weaker and weaker. Age is not pretty or graceful, except in books. Leave old years alone, James.
They won't leave me alone. Oh? I think the truant has turned up. Hello, Anne.
Good afternoon, Uncle James. Where's Spot?
Now, where have you been, Anne? You said you'd waited at the barrier.
I did, Granny.
But you went there. I looked for you.
Somebody told me you were waiting outside the station, so I went outside and didn't find you, and then I took the wrong bus.
Where have you been, Anne?
I told you, nowhere.
Well, what have you been doing?
Nothing.
Nothing and nowhere. It's the Califer touch.
I thought you were such a truthful girl.
You have to tell lies if people ask too many questions, or if you want to lure somebody to a certain house at a certain hour.
What are you talking about now?
Well, I can tell Uncle James. I can't tell you, Granny.
Why not?
You have grandmother eyes.
Oh, what are they?
Old and upright.
And mine?
Oh, your eyes don't say anything. They just look away.
Anne, I asked you...
Where's Spot, Uncle?
He ran away.
There ought to be paw prints as well as fingerprints.
She's talking a lot of nonsense to hide something.
When did you last see Spot, Uncle?
I don't know. He was a very quiet dog. I hardly knew when he was there.
Well, you could advertise.
I expect he's happier where he is.
Can't you see that the child's play acting? Now, Anne, what have you been up to?
Didn't I tell you I'd make a good detective? Any moment now, you'll hear a ring, and that will be the answer to all the trouble.
Well, who's going to ring, Anne?
Mrs. Potter.
Well, who's Mrs. Potter?
Potter's wife.
Who?
Yesterday I sent her a telegram.
It's quite a habit of yours.
Well, you came, didn't you, when I telegraphed? And so I expect to old Mrs. Potter.
Well, we're on our way to Wild Grove, Anne. We've got to catch a train in 3/4 of an hour.
Wild Grove can wait. I've just sent them a telegram, too.
What?
That you've been detained on urgent business. Of course, Mrs. Potter has quite a journey. We may have to wait for hours and hours. But it'll be worth it, won't it? Because she'll tell us what Potter saw.
I'm just beginning to understand.
What has the child done, James?
Perhaps what Dr. Kreutzer couldn't do.
There, I told you.
But Potter's dead.
This is Mrs. Potter.
What did you put in the telegram?
Dying. You can relieve a mind in torment. Come tea time Saturday. I signed it Caliver.
Anne.
Well, we are dying, aren't we, all of us? I'll answer the door.
No.
I will.
No, stop where you are.
You're afraid.
That's what Dr. Kreutzer said.
There's a woman at the door, Caliver. She says that
Please tell her there's no one at home.
She says she has an urgent telegram from you, Caliver.
Please tell her it was a mistake, Mr. Corner. A child's silly prank. Here, give her this for her fare.
No, Corner. Ask her to come in.
You'll only hear a lot of nonsense, fairy stories, James. Mr. Corner, my son is excited by his treatment. Please send her away. He's not in a fit state.
She's come to see me, Corner, not my mother. I'll fetch her if you won't.
Oh, very well.
No, James, no.
Now, Mother, you stood in front of a door like this once before, but not again.
What's the use, James? She wasn't there. She's only heard stories, exaggerated stories, Potter's stories. She knows nothing.
Then tell me yourself. All you know, in your words, before she comes. I'll send her away if you'll tell. Mother, it's you or Mrs. Potter.
You won't remember me, ma'am.
Oh, yes, I remember you very well.
I'm Mr. Caliver.
I was expecting a sick gentleman from the telegram. Are you Master John?
No, I'm James.
Oh.
Won't you sit down, Mrs. Potter?
Thank you, sir.
Now, I want to ask you some questions. There's something I have to find out.
What sort of questions, Master James?
Do you remember the summer of 1925?
Oh, summer seem alike to me now, sir. No. Only warmer in those days.
This was a different summer from all the others. Do you remember my uncle, Father Caliver?
Oh, yes, sir. A fine young man. You and he was very close. That is, before...
Before?
There's always trouble in families, sir.
Mrs. Potter, one day that summer, your husband went to the potting shed and found somebody... something there. It was something that shocked him very much. He wouldn't have kept it dark from you, would he?
Potter and me never had secrets.
And what did he tell you?
It's a long, long time ago, sir.
But you remember it.
Potter said, don't tell a soul, and I never have, for your poor dad's sake. No,
my father's dead. You can tell me now.
But you know, sir, already. What's the good of raking round?
No, I've forgotten everything that happened that day.
You couldn't, sir, not...
Mrs. Potter... I didn't send you that telegram, but my mind is in torment.
I've got to know.
Ask your mother, me. I'm only the gardener's widow. What did I know about it?
Well, Mother? You see, my mother won't tell me. You are the last chance I have, Mrs. Potter. If you owe anything to us...
I owe everything to the Califers. If your mother doesn't want you to know...
Weren't we friends in those days, Mrs. Potter?
You was always my favorite, Master James. It wasn't any fault of yours what happened. You was a dear boy to me. If your father had let you alone...
I haven't asked you for anything in 30 years. But I'm begging you now.
But your mother...
All right. I'll tell you.
Yes?
You had an accident in a potting shed.
An accident?
Yes, you slipped and fell. You were unconscious when Potter found you. And afterwards, it made you strange.
Mad?
Not exactly mad. You didn't get on with your father. Family life wasn't good for you.
Is that all?
All except Potter's fairy stories.
Then I want fairy stories.
They weren't fairy stories, Mrs. Califer. Potter was no liar. Your husband knew that. That's why he sent him away.
He was too old for the work. My husband gave him a good pension.
Oh, it was a good pension, but his heart was in his garden, and it killed him.
He spread stories.
It was the truth.
How could it be?
It's not the first time. There was Lazarus. They buried him.
Who was Lazarus?
Someone in a book.
A book you Califers aren't allowed to read. All right. I'll tell you how it was, Master James. Mm. It was dinner time. Potter was late, near 2 o'clock. I knew something was wrong as soon as he came in. He had his coffin face. It was bad for Potter because he found you first.
He found me?
He lifted you down, poor boy.
Lifted me down?
You was hanging there, sir, in the potting shed. You'd used a cord from the playroom. He cut you down.
Was I...
There wasn't any life in you, sir.
No, no.
Forgive me, ma'am, but it's what Potter said.
But I'm here. This is my room.
Potter did all he could. He was a great swimmer once, sir, and he knew all about artificial respirationing. Wasn't any use, he said. Your heart was stopped.
My heart.
He was always a truthful man, sir.
Last week I cut my hand. It bled.
Potter had left the door open and looked up and saw your uncle was there. Master James has killed himself, Potter said. He was stretched out there on the ground. And you've no more breath, Potter said, than a dead fish.
James. James, it was all a mistake. You don't take this seriously, James.
What's your story, Mother? You've kept it dark a long while.
There was no story to tell. We didn't want you to remember how foolish you'd been. You were in a coma from shock, and when the doctor came, he revived you.
Not the doctor. Potter left you with your uncle, Master James.
Potter did better than he knew. Perhaps he did save your life.
Potter never thought that. Master James was beyond human aid, Potter said.
Mother, where's my uncle now? You may as well tell me.
Even if I knew where he was, I wouldn't tell you. What use could he be to you in the state you'd find him in?
Mother, you can't hush him up. It's always possible to find a priest's address.
Well, I'll find it for you. It'll be a lot easier than finding Mrs. Potter.
No. Leave this to me, Anne.
Yes?
Is Father Califer in?
And for what would you be wanting him at this hour of the night?
Well, never mind that. Is he in?
There's proper times for confession there on the church board. Is it confession?
No.
Or instruction? Oh, I doubt if he's in a fit state after his supper. He's easily tired.
So I've heard.
You shouldn't believe all you hear. Where'd you come from?
A long way. Just tell him
he... You can wait in the hall. I promise nothing. You should have come in the morning. He's best after breakfast.
I won't be here tomorrow. I'm only passing through.
What kind of instructions are you expecting?
Instruction was your word.
Oh, wait here.
There's a man to see you, Father.
I can't see anyone tonight.
Because you're not capable, that's what.
Please.
They'd have written to the bishop long before this if I'd let them. Don't think they haven't learned what happened in your last parish and the one before that. If I hadn't begged them time and time again to give you a chance, if only for my sake.
Your sake.
I've been the priest's housekeeper here for 20 years and never had a breath of scandal before. But unless you give me your solemn, honest-to-God promise you'll keep off the liquor, I'll not be preventing them writing to the bishop any longer.
Let them write.
If they do, it'll be the end of you. You won't find another bishop to take you.
They think I'd mind that. Let them take away my faculties. Don't threaten a convict with a loss of his shame.
Speak lower if you don't want to advertise your shame to a stranger. He's just outside the door.
Go and fetch the man, whoever he is.
I'm going to have my say first. Here, they want a priest with a faith in him. Oh, don't turn away and pretend you don't understand.
No, fetch him, I say.
You and I have got to have this out once and for all. It's for your sake I'm speaking.
I say the mass every Sunday at 8:30 and on weekdays at 7 for those who care to come, and many of them. What else do you want of me?
Oh, you stand at the altar all right, gobbling your way through as quickly as possible to get at your breakfast. But you don't believe a word you're saying.
How do you know?
In a life like mine, you get an ear for such things.
Yes, I suppose so.
You should have heard poor Father Murphy and the beautiful voice he had. He wouldn't have read other men's sermons because he had no thoughts of his own. Father, what kind of a priest are you?
A priest who does his job. I say the mass, I hear confessions. If anyone has a stomach ache in the night, don't I go to him? Who has ever asked for me and I haven't come?
Miss Alexander.
Yes, you would remind me of that.
I couldn't wake you. I had to say next day you were sick.
Miss
sick.
Connolly. You've looked after a lot of priests. You take it as your right to speak your mind to them.
Oh.
And me, you expect me to serve you, all of you. Every day for 24 hours. I mustn't be a man. I must be a priest. And in return, after mass, you give me coffee and eggs. You make my bed. You keep my two rooms clean, or nearly. I don't ask you for any more than you are paid to do.
People here have a right to a priest with the faith.
Faith! They want a prayer.
Oh, shit.
They want a voice that's never husky with the boredom of saying the same words day after day. Well, all right. Let them write to the bishop. Do you think I want to get up every morning at 6 in time to make my meditation before mass? Meditation on what? The reason why I'm going on with this slave labor?
Slave?
They give prisoners useless tasks, don't they? Digging pits and filling them up again, like mine.
You don't understand what you're saying, Father.
Father! I hate the world.
Oh, my Lord.
I had a brother who believed in nothing. For 30 years now, I have believed in nothing, too. A father belongs to his children until they grow up and he's free of them, but these people never grow up. They die, children, and leave children behind them. I'm condemned to being a father for life.
I've never heard such words before out of a priest's mouth. They say your breath smells in the confessional.
And so do theirs. The worst things. I'd rather smell of whiskey than bad teeth.
You're full of it now.
Oh, no. I'm empty. Quite empty.
Oh.
Who are you?
Your nephew. If you are Father Califer.
My nephew. Well, it's long. Since I've seen any of the family, I wouldn't have kept you waiting if I'd known. I thought you would just... You should have warned me you were coming, Miss Connolly.
I can get the guest room ready right away.
I'm not staying. I was only passing, and I thought
The nearest town where you'll be comfortable is Wisbeach. That's 20 miles away. You'd do much better to stay the night here.
Oh, the sheets are already aired.
Have you dined? It would be no trouble, would it? Miss Connolly, you could...
There's a couple of chops for tomorrow's lunch. It won't take a minute.
Oh, where are my manners? forgot to introduce the two of you. This is my housekeeper, Miss Connolly.
How do you do, sir?
My nephew, John.
How do you do, Miss Connolly? I had food on the way. I just wanted to see you, Uncle. Have a word with you after all these years. Perhaps a drink.
Oh, of course, you must have a drink while Miss Connolly is getting your room ready. Sit down, my dear fellow, sit down. That's the only comfortable chair.
Thank you.
Now, Miss Connolly, what have we in the house?
There's a bit of sherry.
Not at this hour.
Maybe I can find some Arthur
yes,
wine.
Do. And bring a jug of water.
What would you be wanting the water for?
To temper the wine, Miss Connolly.
Very well.
A good woman, in her way. And how is the bank?
I work on a newspaper.
Oh, I was thinking. Yes, I haven't kept up. Were you at your poor father's funeral?
Yes, but I wasn't invited.
Nor was I. You...
No, for the same reason. Now, I'm James, Uncle, not John. A strange meeting, isn't it? The first since...
Is there anything else you'll be wanting?
No. You can go to bed. I'll show my nephew to his room.
Very good. Good night, then.
Oh, good night. So you are James?
Yes.
I wish you hadn't come.
Why?
We were very close once. Do you remember?
No.
I'm glad. You won't find me so changed then. You'll have some whiskey. A reunion like this demands you. I keep the bottle behind these two volumes of the Catholic Encyclopedia. Here we are. I can't offer you soda, she'd notice. If I kept soda in the house. Welcome to my home.
Thank you, Uncle.
Rather different from Wildgrove, isn't it? But then your father and I follow different ways. They say you can tell a man's character from his furnishings.
It reminds me of my own lodgings, except that your pictures are religious.
They'll have told you at Wildgrove that I'm overfond of the bottle. But I do my job. Nobody can deny I do my job. Look at the pictures, the books. I keep up appearances, don't I? Does John drink?
A glass of wine with his meals.
Lucky man. How's it go, scoff at scars who never felt a wound.
What's your wound, Uncle?
My wound. Nothing serious. Difficult thing, though, practicing a faith day in, day out, when you don't believe one jot of it. Do you know that at night I still pray? Do nothing. To that crucifix over there. I was teaching you to believe in that when your father interfered. How right he was.
Right.
He was a very clever man. Older and cleverer than I was. He took everything I told you and made fun of it. He made me a laughing stock before you. I taught you about the virgin birth, and he cured you with physiology.
Was that why I tried to kill myself?
So you know about that, do you? He was a bit too rough. A child can't stand confusion. Fill up your glass. We have to get through this bottle by 12.
Why by 12?
I have to say Mass in the morning. I abide by the rules. It is the least I can do.
For whom?
Myself. I caught you there. You thought you had squeezed out a small drop of faith. There isn't one drop.
Here's the clock. I set the alarm for 6. So, that's why you asked for the water. Where had you got that whiskey hidden?
I brought it.
Oh, you try so hard to keep your uncle off the drink. And now you're sending him drunk to bed.
Oh, I'm sorry. I needed the drink more than he did.
You'll see he goes up to bed soon, won't you? He has to wake early. He works hard in his way. Do you know what he called himself just now? A convict. He said he was in prison. I'm the warder, I suppose. He hasn't any love or gratitude in him for the years he's been looked after.
It's a terrible thing to have nothing in you.
And I'd give my life for him.
Made her angry again. Well, what were we talking about when she came in? Oh, where's the point? I think I'll go to bed.
Not just yet. Please. Have you forgotten what happened?
I have forgotten nothing. Well, I just don't like to remember, that's all. Thank you. It was a terrible day for everybody. I was very angry with your father for the way he treated you. Of course he had a reason, but it was a shocking thing for a boy to be brought to hang himself.
What happened when you found me? I wasn't dead, was I?
How could you have been dead? It was a coma. Just a coma, the doctor said so.
Did the doctor bring me to?
No, you were awake before he came.
It isn't possible, is it? I mean, what Potter thought?
No, how could it be? If you were dead, it would have been a miracle. If it were a miracle, God would exist. But if God existed, why should he take away his faith from me? I've served him well. I go on serving him. Oh, the saints have dark nights. Not for 30 years. They have moments when they remember what it felt like to believe. You shouldn't have come.
Tell me what you remember.
Potting shed. And you lying there. And Potter struggling with your arms.
And then?
I prayed. I was a model priest. You see, with all the beliefs and conventions. Besides, I loved you. Yes, I remember now how I loved you. I couldn't have a child, and I suppose you took his place. Let me have one more drink. When I had you on my knees, I remember a terrible pain here. So terrible, I didn't think I could go through with it again. It was just as though I was the one who was strangled. I could feel the cord around my neck. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't speak. I had to pray in my mind. And then your breath came back. And it was just as though I had died instead. Dead. So I went away to bury myself in rooms like this.
What did you pray?
It's so long ago.
Try to remember.
What difference will it make to you?
I've been close to despair, too.
Well, what made you remember me?
Potter's widow.
Is she dead? Poor fellow. And so you came to me. Do I look as though I could be of any use to anyone at all? It was an awful moment, finding you dead in that way.
Dead?
I mean, you seemed to me dead.
What did you do?
Could I do? I could only pray. Suppose I offered something in return, something I valued. Not spirits, I really thought I loved God in those days. I said, Let him live, God. I love him. Let him live. I will give you anything if you will let him live. What had I got to give him? I was a poor man. I said, take away what I love most. Take
away my faith, but let him live.
Did you hear me?
Yes. You were speaking a long way off, and I came towards you through a cave of darkness. I didn't want to come. I struggled not to come. But something pushed me to you.
Something?
Yes. Or somebody. Uncle, can I help?
I even forgot what I said to him until you came.
Do you really believe?
He answered my prayer, didn't he? He took my offer. Oh, look around you. Look at this room. It makes sense, doesn't it? Now? You must forgive me. I'm tired. And a little drunk. I haven't thought about that day for 30 years. Will you see me to my room? It's dark on the landing.
Come. Come along.
I thought I had lost him forever.
Thanks, John.
Sarah?
No, thanks.
Can I get anybody a drink? Dr. Kreutzer?
No, thank you, no.
It's nearly morning and no one has spoken frankly yet. We've brought Dr. Kreutzer a long way for nothing.
Well, Fred, it's not an easy subject. One's got to break the ice.
You were always a bit heavy on your feet, John.
Mother, I am trying to...
You're used to board meetings. Well, I'm not, and I'm not very clear about the agenda.
There's only one thing on the agenda, Mary. The insanity of your son.
Thank you, Fred, but surely somebody can speak.
Is Anne...
She's safely in bed.
Oh. I thought I heard someone on the stairs.
Imagination. I locked James in. He was asleep when I turned the key. I felt as though... I were cuckolding him.
It was necessary, Sarah.
But I'd like to unlock the door before he wakes, so that he won't know.
I'm afraid we've got to face...
Oh, for goodness sake, John, face it then.
And he's my brother. You forget I'm concerned, too.
Yes, well, say, what's on your mind?
I think Fred and Dr. Kreutzer have got to decide whether we can ever unlock that door again.
Oh, no.
Yes.
I've never believed in captivity, even for animals. Don't you remember that letter we all signed?
Mary, this is different. This is for his good. Now, just let's deal with the facts. At 14, James tried to kill himself. Since then, he's suffered from all kinds of delusions. Melancholia, a sense of persecution. He's even hinted at suicide again. Dr. Kreutzer has told us so. And now this fantastic, monstrous idea of his. He should have compulsory treatment.
He was having it voluntarily in Nottingham.
I'm not saying anything against you, Dr. Kreutzer, but you failed. He abandons his treatment. Off he goes to his uncle. Now, we don't know what happened between them, but we do know he came down to Wild Grove a few days later with this E-Day fix that he had been raised from the dead at 14 by the prayers of William Califa.
There was someone else who believed that.
Oh, yes, your gardener. A man who could barely write his name.
I didn't mean him.
Even his uncle, when he recovered his senses.
I mean... My husband, Fred.
Oh, Mary, that's nonsense. You know it's nonsense.
Oh, no, it isn't. Why do you think I was afraid to let James see his father when he was dying? Henry was a fraud.
Mother, what a dreadful thing to say. I always thought you loved him.
One can love a fraud. Perhaps it's easier than loving rectitude. All his life he'd written on the necessity of proof. Proof, proof. And then a proof was pushed under his nose at the bottom of his own garden in the potting shed.
But you didn't believe.
No, I didn't. It was a long time before I realized just how much he did. Fred, I saw his face. We always knew each other's thoughts. I could hear him saying to himself, "Must I recall all those books and start again?" But I was trained to my job. I began to protect him. My husband, not my son.
He never said anything which could remotely...
He never said anything to anyone. But Fred, he never published another book.
Dr. Baston, why did you call me in? Surely there was another doctor. You could have fetched the doctor who was here when it happened.
I was that doctor.
I see.
And I assure you that there was nothing abnormal.
You used massage.
No, there was no question of massage. It was too late.
Too late?
I mean, James was conscious when I arrived.
I see.
The layman can't recognize death. He thinks because a glass doesn't fog or a leaf on the lips move...
They tried that.
If such a test for death were infallible, and it never could be, even then I wouldn't accept a miracle. I would simply say we had to redefine our terms, the concepts, life and death.
Henry told himself that too. The trouble was, he didn't believe the argument.
Did you write up the case, Dr. Baston, in the medical journals?
How could I? I only had Potter's word, an ignorant gardener. And a priest. I wouldn't take a priest's word on that subject.
Fair enough.
Would you have taken Henry's?
Mother, we're off the point. What we've got to decide is quite simple. Should James go into a home? After all this business, I consider it is our duty.
Oh, duty to... for his own good. All those old words we used to expose.
Oh.
What does Sarah say?
You're his mother. I'm nothing.
I want you to sign this certificate with me, Dr. Kreutzer.
I'm not satisfied, Dr. Baston.
How many times do your patients have to attempt suicide before you're ready to certify them?
An attempted suicide is not necessarily serious, only the suicides that succeed.
Not serious? Oh, you astonish me, Dr. Kreutzer.
People play act to others, to themselves. The majority of attempted suicides never meant to succeed.
But sometimes, Dr. Kreutzer, people may succeed through inexperience.
You can hardly gain experience in killing yourself, Dr. Baston.
Oh, you know very well what I mean. Things may go wrong. A man may stumble on the right number of pills.
Very seldom. We all have great unconscious wisdom.
He succeeded the first time.
He what, Dr. Baston?
He would have succeeded if the gardener had not found him. Oh, you're taking a great responsibility, Dr. Kreutzer, if you don't sign with me. He's your patient. Coroners are apt to take a harsh view of psychiatrists whose patients kill themselves. Has it never happened to you?
Yes, once.
Dr. Kreutzer, aren't we really supporting your view? After all, we don't live in an age of Victorian lunatic asylums, cruel warders, straitjackets.
Are you sure?
If he is certified, he'll be forced to complete his treatment with you, Dr. Kreutzer.
No patient can be forced. We can only persuade. Just why do you want him put away? Perhaps you want to forget him as his father did.
How dare you!
His anger is always an interesting symptom.
I was appealing to you for the sake of those who love him. His mother...
No, leave me out, Fred. If I'm asked, I shall say James is as sane as the rest of us. If that counts at all.
Hello.
James!
How on earth did you...
I thought you were asleep.
No, the sound of the key turning woke me. I'm a very light sleeper.
How did you get out?
You forgot. Anne's room is next to mine. Oh. Every detective knows the Morse code. Dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, dot, dot. That's an SOS. There was some confusion at first. She had mislaid her code and thought I was signaling, proceed straight to nearest port. Well, what have you decided? I don't suppose you want my opinion, but, you know, I've never felt saner in my life.
Threatening to kill yourself, that wasn't very sane.
Oh, that belongs to the past. It won't happen again.
Don't you think a period of rest with really first-class treatment...
I don't need it any longer, John. The gap's filled. I know what happened.
What do you know?
that I killed myself in the potting shed.
And you say you are sane.
Do you think everyone who believes in a god is mad?
Why should he do a miracle for you?
If I knew, I wouldn't believe in him. I couldn't believe in a god I could understand.
The asylums are full of people who think God chose them specially.
Did Uncle William talk you into this, James?
He'd thought like all of you. It was a mistake. It was the only belief he had left. He had become a real caliphate for my sake. Only the caliphers have usually not taken to the bottle.
Then why can't you take his word? He was there with you, praying away.
I saw the result. I thought, like you, that it must be all a fairy tale. Then I saw his room. Have you ever seen a room from which faith has gone? A room without faith? Oh, that can be pretty and full of flowers. You can fill it with Regency furniture and the best modern pictures. But a room from which faith has gone is quite different. Like a marriage from which love has gone. And all that's left are habits and pet names and sentimental objects picked up on beaches and in foreign towns that don't mean anything anymore. And patience. Patience everywhere, like a fog.
Like our marriage?
No, Sarah. We were like the room without faith. We hadn't lost anything valuable.
You're very cruel, James.
I don't mean to be.
Why did you come back here?
To see you, Sarah. But last night they told me you'd gone.
It was Dr. Baston. He wanted his talk first.
Don't you think it's my turn now, Baston? I want to be alone with Sarah.
I won't take this responsibility.
Then I will.
He's in no fit state.
You have been very loyal to Henry, Fred. It's James's turn now.
John?
I'm trying to do the best for everyone, for Mother as well as you.
Can I have a word with you, Mr. Califer?
What? Oh, very well.
You too, Dr. Baston?
I still say that...
Doctor...
Oh, as you please.
You know you don't have to be afraid of me, Sarah. I'm the one who's afraid. My hand's trembling. Strange. It didn't tremble the first time.
What first time?
Oh, the first time I proposed to you. Things weren't important to me then. I can't even remember the name of the restaurant or the words I used. But this time, coming down, I counted every stair. There are 19 of them. And there's a picture askew above the 12th. I stopped to set it right. That gave me time to think.
Think what?
Oh, think of what I'd say. I love you, Sarah.
Just because you believed Potter's story?
Yes.
That God answered that prayer?
Yes.
But what do you want?
I want to marry you.
It didn't work the first time.
Well, I was the wrong man to make a deathbed marriage. Nothing mattered, because everything would be over soon. We were all going to be dead as last year's dog. Now when I look at you, I see someone who will never die forever.
Curious snobbery.
The strong taste. Sarah, you never believed I wanted you, and you were right. Your kiss was always a question, and I hadn't got an answer. I couldn't love you any more than you can love a tree, a glass of wine, a cat. Can we try again?
I remember the same words, but I spoke them, and you wouldn't listen.
Poetic justice.
I don't want justice. But don't you understand, James? This new belief of yours is worse than nothing. It sent you too far away. I don't belong to your world of God and prayer.
Oh, prayer? I don't want to pray. Something happened to me, like a street accident. I don't want God. I don't love God. But he's there. It's no good pretending. He's in my lungs like air.
He's not in mine. I'm sorry, James. You believe in God and life eternal, but I don't want to be that important. I wasn't kissing God when I was kissing you. I was only saying, I remember to order the steaks, and I know you don't like watercress, and I'll be here tonight and the next night and the night after. I don't want eternity. I hate big things. Everest and the Empire State Building.
Everest exists.
Then I wish that you'd brought something back to prove it. Like the lover in the story, one out-of-season flower.
Sarah, don't go.
We've said all there is to say.
Not all.
I went into the garden for breath of air. It'll be light soon.
I'm sorry about all this, Mother. A miracle in a family is worse than a Borstal case.
You've no proof, have you, James?
Not the kind Baston needs. But don't tell a man who's just seen a ghost that he has no proof. I've seen my uncle. I've seen his room. I don't need any other proof of God than the lack of him there. I've seen the mark of his footsteps going away.
It's a cruel God you believe in.
Perhaps he had no choice.
What, a God who can't choose?
God is conditioned, isn't he? If he's all-powerful, he can't weaken. If he knows everything, he can't forget. If he's love, he can't hate. Perhaps if someone asks with enough love, he has to give.
Well, people are asking all the time.
Are they? It needs a lot of belief and a lot of love.
But your uncle doesn't believe?
Oh, yes, he does. I left him praying.
Is he happy?
He wanted more than I could give him. Don't you remember anything he said? Can't you tell me that it's all true? The Trinity, the resurrection, the virgin birth? But I brought nothing back. Not one flower.
What are you going to do, James?
Marry Sarah, I hope. I'm going to start a long courtship. Chocolates, flowers.
Oh, she's not very good with flowers. It'll take time. Oh,
time's not important. Time's for a time.
A long time in my case, and time is all I know.
I move my hand. It moves in space and time. When there's no time, there'll be no movement anymore. When we think one thing after another. Time again. When there's no time, we shan't think anymore.
Frightening worlds.
I've been there, and I'm not frightened.
All the same, don't talk to Sarah about eternity. Give her time. Give us all time. You mustn't mind our anger. You've spoilt our certainties.
I thought you had none.
Oh, the Calipers knew everything. It was all right to doubt the existence of God as your grandfather did in the time of Darwin. Doubt. That was human liberty. But my generation, we didn't doubt. We knew. I don't believe in this miracle, but I'm not sure any longer. And when you aren't sure, you're alive.
Have you seen Anne?
What?
She's not in her room.
You sounded so final just now, Sarah.
It didn't mean anything cosmic. I'm not a Calipher. I just wanted to get away, that's all. I wanted to cry for 5 minutes.
Yes, you have been crying.
Your hand's still trembling.
Mm-hmm. You know the reason.
I must go and look for Anne. Please, will you come with me?
Yes, I'll come.
Well, it's settled, Mrs. Carifer. Dr. Baston has at last accepted my view.
What the James is saying?
That an illusion can help to cure.
Oh, Dr. Kreutzer, how you have it both ways.
I saw you from the window just now, coming back from the garden.
Yes, I went to the potting shed. I'd never been there since it happened.
What did you do there?
I went in. The door wasn't locked. I wasn't frightened. There was nothing ghostly there. The ground wasn't holy. There were no voices or whispers or messages. Only the boxes of seeds and the gardening tools and some broken flower pots and an old seed catalogue. It wasn't important anymore. And I thought perhaps even miracles are ordinary. What do you think, Doctor?
I don't much care one way or the other.
Was that why you weren't angry like the others? Oh, what a family to find yourself in, Dr. Kreutzer. You know, poor Fred is very cross. He fears I've been converted to miracles.
Have you?
No. But haven't you any set ideas you want destroyed, Dr. Kreutzer?
I hope not. I would rather think one thing one day and another the next. If we don't kill any possibility, perhaps we'll die without a ghost haunting us.
I thought you wanted the truth. You're a scientist.
I only want a relative truth. to make life tolerable.
Oh, that's not very brave, is it?
And courage can be a very difficult neurosis.
Oh, well, the night's over. Well, well, the detective asleep at her post on the window seat.
Oh, I've had such a funny dream. I was going down the path to the potting shed, and there was a lion there, fast asleep.
What did you do?
I woke it up.
And did it eat you?
No. It licked my hand.
In the Potting Shed, adapted by Peggy Wells from the play by Graham Greene, Sybil Thorndike played the part of Mrs. Mary Callifer and Robert Harris, James Callifer. Sarah Callifer, his wife, was played by Jill Balkan, John Callifer by John Justin, and his daughter Anne by Chris Salt. Dr. Baston was played by Ronald Herdman, Corner by Brian Hewlett, and Dr. Kreutzer by Harold Caskett. Mrs. Potter was played by Marjorie Forsyth, and Miss Connolly by Anna Burton. The part of Father William Callifer was played by Henry Stamper. The Potting Shed was produced by John Powell.